This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.
Hey, we've been in a series. If you have not been a part of it, that's okay, man. You can check it at another time. You can go online if it works, and no, just kidding, it works, I think. But anyway, you can check us out and go back. But we've been talking a whole series about what we've called Battle Ready, and the idea is simply that this is a series where we talk about, hey, there are things, there's a spiritual attack on your faith and on your life, and we've said a lot of times people don't like to talk about that in church because, you know, it gets kind of wooey weird. And, you know, we mean there's a real devil. There's a real enemy. I mean, that's not made up. No, that's real. And there are some real things that would love to take you out, to take you off the game and take and steal your spiritual life and your fervor for serving God. And so we've been talking about this idea of spiritual warfare. And I will say this, man, over the first 2 weeks kind of setting this up, the response has been absolutely amazing. Like, I've had people just message me and talk to me, and like, you know what? I'm now able to identify what's going on in my life. Like, I could identify all these things that are happening to me, and why do I feel like this is just craziness around me? And I'm able to identify it. And I just think that's amazing. So today, though, is a great place to kind of launch off from that point, because we're going to go start getting into the details of how do we live victorious lives for Christ. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about this thing that maybe you've heard about in church, if you've been raised in church for any amount of time, simply called the armor of God. And what does it mean? And what does it, those details mean to put on the armor of God? So we're going to talk about that. And I've never studied, I mean, I've read Ephesians 6 so many times, and maybe you have too, so many times over my life, but I don't know if I've ever studied it as much as I had over the last couple of weeks, and it's amazing. So I just want to encourage you, come every week if you can. I want you to be ready for this. We have these, maybe you grabbed them when you came in. If you didn't, you can grab them. We put together a little booklet that kind of you can take notes throughout all the armors of God, and there's a little insert there for notes and a place where you can, we have some questions that you can ask yourself based off this sermon over the next couple of weeks. So you can grab that. If you didn't grab one of those, you can grab it on your way out, and hopefully that'll help you as we go forward. So I'm reading out Ephesians chapter 6. I'm not going to read the whole thing today, but I'm going to read verse 13. And it says this. It starts right off. Paul writes, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God." And I want to stop there for a moment because I love that he says, put on the full armor of God. Not some of it. Not what you want to put on. He says, put on the full armor of God. We are so guilty of so many times and like, well, I like this piece at this time, I need this piece, or, you know, we get this a lot of times in the church, well, this is my gifting, so I think I'll just wear this piece. And Paul's saying, look, if you're going to be successful as a follower of God, you've got to put on the full armor of God. Like, you ever been to that place, like, you ever gone somewhere and you think, like, you feel like I've forgotten something, and you're like, it just haunts you. You ever been there? Like, man, I think I forgot to pack this. And you get there and you realize, oh my gosh, I didn't pack socks, right? How many of you know socks are important, right? You need them. And you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't pack socks. Like recently, we were on a recruiting visit with my son, and he forgot to pack an extra pair of pants. He only had one pair of pants. I'm like, hey, we're going to teach you a lesson. You're going to wear the same pair of pants for the next 3 days. It was awesome. Smelled great. But you know, you're at that place where you're like, something's missing. And that's the key with this verse. It's like, he's not like, you're going to miss something if you don't put on the full armor of God. You got to put on all of it. So anyway, he goes on, he says there, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, after you've done everything, to stand. And so I just believe this is the encouragement part for us as a church, that I think that God is wanting to raise us up as a church to say, Lord, no matter what, we are going to stand our ground. We're going to stand firm. When everyone else in our world today is shaking everywhere, they're on shaky ground. There's confusion. There's doubt. People are unsure. Fear runs rampant. And it's all because they're just, we don't know where to go. We're on this shaky ground. I think that the church should be the example of being solid. Like, the church should be an example of, like, no, we stand on solid ground. We're not shaky. We're not fearful. We're not unstable. And I'm just believing that we'll be a church that stands firm. Because then he goes on, he says, finally, he says, stand firm. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. So there it is, right? He says, put the belt of truth, right? This is so crucial. He gives us this first piece of the armor, which is called the belt of truth, right? It's the very first thing, and we could so easily overlook it. If you've been around church a while, it's so cooler to have the helmet on. It's much cooler to hold the sword and to have the breastplate. But he starts the whole armor with this thing called the belt of truth. And it says, put the belt of truth around your waist. And I began to ask myself, kind of interesting, why is it that would be the first piece of armor that he talks about? Like, was it happenstance that Paul just put them in this particular order? Or was there a reason that they're in this order? I believe today, I submit to you, there's a reason why he puts the belt of truth as the first armor that we're to equip ourselves with. Now, I'm not much of a belt guy. Never been a belt guy. Like shoes, yes. Belts, no, right? Some of you probably collect belts. But belts are very important, right? I heard a comedian say once, I thought it was funny. He's like, he goes, this comedian said, I don't understand like belts, because belts hold up your pants, but belt loops hold up the belt. So who's the real champion in this whole thing, right? Is it the belt or the belt loops, right? But belts come in all shapes and sizes and functions. And so today I thought it'd be fun. I brought a few belts today with us, right? So like the first belt is like what we call like the designer, you know, needed belt that you put on, right? You put it on your all the time. This is the one that you walk around. And you're like, how many of you know like this is the rule of the belt, the designer belt is like, how many of you know the belt has to match your outfit? Like it's ungodly to have an unmatching belt, right? So it has to look right. So you got your designer belt, like, look at me, I'm hot, you know, my Gucci, my MK, whatever you want to call it, you know, the designer belt that maybe serves no purpose but makes you look good, right? There's a designer belt, and then there's another belt. Come on, this is for my Montana people. You ready? Right? Come on. Right? This right here says something about me, right? I earned this. This is like walk through and say, look at me, right? Look. This is, how many know this is a talking piece? How did you get that? Well, let me tell you how I got this right here. By God, I ran the biggest bull. You know, anyway, what? But this is fully Montana, right? You got the big, nice, shiny belt. This says, look at me. Look how awesome I am. I mean, it serves a purpose, right? How many about this one, though? Come on. The world championship wrestling belt, right? You wear this thing around, you're like, look at me, man. Like, right? I am the world champion. We don't even wear it around our waist. We go like this, right? This is the real way to wear the championship belt. This serves a purpose. This says something. This means something. It has meaning behind it. And then there's another type of belt. Some of you guys can identify this. This is called a tool belt, all right? I had to borrow this. I don't own a tool belt because I don't know how to use a tool belt. But that I'm told that you put tools in it, okay? That's what I'm told. I thought, you know, this is where your snacks go. But it's like a tool belt, and you wear the tool belt, and it serves a purpose, and it has meaning. And here's the reality, the funny thing about the tool belt is that some people could actually say, well, that's exactly what Paul is talking about in this passage. He's talking about, you know, he's referring to tools. But I want to submit to you today that that's not what Paul was talking about. And I want to give you a picture of this today, because Paul, if you don't know anything about this scripture in Ephesians, when he's writing this, Paul is actually writing this scripture from prison. He's a prisoner, and he's writing to the church of Ephesus while sitting in prison. And you got to understand this. This is like there would have been a Roman guard sitting within eyeshot of Paul, watching over him while he's writing this piece of scripture. So while this guard is watching on him, he's able to describe the armor of God by looking at the Roman guard. I want to show you a picture of it this morning. This is kind of what it would look like, right? This Roman guard. I want you to know that I posed for this picture. That's actually me up there, right? that's me. They asked me to model. I said, sure, I got you. And but you have all these pieces of the armor that's on this guy, right? You have all these pieces that are there. You got you see the helmet, you see all these things, and you have all these pieces. And if we're not careful, church, we could easily miss the belt of truth. Like you see the helmet, you see the sword, you see the breastplate, and all those things are really cool. But you got to know that the foundational piece is what's called the belt of truth. It's right here. Right here. It's right here. There it is. Okay, perfect. All right. It's right here. These two little things is what's called the belt of truth. It's the belt that was on this Roman guard. It's called there. And what the belt of truth, it served a vital role. What the belt of truth was is that it was the piece of the armor that would go on that actually held the rest of the armor in place. That one little unrecognizable piece was the one vital piece of the armor that held all the rest of the armor in place. Why would they need this? Because the Roman soldiers of that day would be holding this armor that they're wearing would actually be on their body holding somewhere around 70 to 80 pounds of armor on their bodies. And not just for 1 or 2 hour shifts, for 12 to 15 hours a day. And as they're holding this heavy armor, if the belt of truth wasn't on, he wouldn't be able to hold it all in place. And it wouldn't be able to do what I believe the belt was there to do. Simply this will be on the screen. Here's what the belt did. The belt stabilizes and strengthens the core. Like, it's not an accessory belt. It's not a beautiful cowboy belt, right? Like it's more a better description of, like, have you ever seen one of these? A workout belt? Come on. Some of you have never seen one of these because you've never been on a workout. All right, so. But this is like a workout belt that you put on. If you know anything about workout, you put this on, you put this weight belt on, and it allows you to do things that you wouldn't normally do. It would be this idea, I'm about to carry something really, really heavy, and I'm going to need something in my life that I can put on that as I carry this heavy thing, it will stabilize my body so that I can carry what it is that I need to carry. Can I challenge you with this today, that I believe this, what God wants us to carry, the potential of your life, the potential of our church, is way too heavy for you and I to carry by ourselves. We need a belt of truth that will strengthen us and stabilize us when we need to. I don't know if you know this, but the enemy knows how important this is. I believe this because if you've ever gone through a moment of health problems or you needed something and you're trying to get some, maybe you have to go to a physical therapist or a chiropractor or some personal trainer, and they're always going to start with the same thing. They're going to say this to you. Everything in your body is connected with how strong your core is. How strong is your core? Because your core matters. And if your core is stabilized and if your core is strong, you're able to walk better, you're able to stand up straighter, you have more stamina, you're able to resist energy. Why? Because it starts with the core. And Paul says if you're going to be a soldier in this spiritual battle, you've got to have the belt on. That belt that will stabilize you and give you strength when you're in the midst of the battle. That's what he's absolutely talking about. Let me say it this way. This is why the enemy is attacking your life. It's exactly why. Because we find ourselves in the midst of a battle, and the first thing that goes in the midst of that battle is our stability. Like, we start wavering back and forth. Things come at us. And the first thing, and I don't mean to indict you, but many times for Christians, when we're in the midst of the battle, the first thing that goes is our confidence in God. The first thing that wavers is, well, I don't know if God is who he says he is. The first thing we do is we run to the world to look for help instead of going to the other side of it and saying, hey, and it's all a tactic of the enemy to get you not sure, to get you fearful and wavering. And everything seems to be falling apart. And that's when you need a belt in your life that stabilizes you and strengthens you. And what is the belt he told us about? It's not a random belt. It's not a show-off belt. It's not a belt just to look good. It's not a belt that you advertise, look who I am. I am a believer. I am all this. That's not the belt he's talking about. He gives us one word, and it's this simple word. It's a word called truth. Truth. That is what this belt is all about, is truth. And Paul says, here's what you need to put on in your life. You need to put on truth. Wrap truth around your waist. Like, if you have truth right, if we get truth right, then everything in your life stabilizes. If you get truth right, everything in your life is strengthened, no matter how hard the fight is, no matter what you face and what you go through. So let me give you a quick definition. Here's what truth is. Truth is an objective standard by which reality is measured. It's an objective standard by which reality is measured. So truth is not how you feel. Truth is not even what you believe. It doesn't matter how sincere you are about it, because how many of you know you can be sincere and be sincerely wrong? You can't. There's a lot of that going on today. We're very sincere, but you're sincerely wrong. So what is the tactic of the enemy in our world today? It's to come in and immediately attack truth, to attack the truth. And this is what he does. He gets us to doubt God. He gets us to make statements like, well, I don't know if my commitment to God was really real. Like, he gets us to say, well, I don't know if God is really who he says he is. I don't know if that feeling I had, is that just me or was that really God? And you start to question things. And he's trying to get you to release truth off your life. And when we release truth off our lives, guess what? The rest of the armor is unstable. The rest of the armor lacks strength. And you might have the sword of the word in your hand, but you can't use it appropriately because you've already given up truth. I want you to understand this. You have to realize how important this small piece of armor really is. I wrote down this way because truth is what what stabilizes the believer during battle. It's what stabilizes you during battle. And a lot of us are in the midst of a battle and it's the enemy, and then where he's attacked you right from the beginning is truth. I don't know if I'm good enough. I don't know if God's good enough. I don't know if God's real. I don't know about this and I don't know about that. And you begin to always question truth. And that's the big thing. A lot of us are in the midst of that and we begin to question it and he attacks our lives and we start to say, God's not real. The Bible isn't real. The man's made that. Man created that. Jesus, he's a good guy, but I don't know about the Son of God. Like, I'll never be happy. Happiness will never find me. God's not worth all this effort that I'm putting into it. Like you really think this blessing that I'm having in my life really came from God? And he brings up lie after lie after lie into your life. Why? Because his goal is to get us, you and me, to doubt truth. John 8 says it this way. John's talking about the enemy, about the devil, and he says this. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. What is he doing? He's trying to deceive your life. Every day, bringing lie after lie into your life, which I'll just add this, by the way, is why you need church and community. Because the world is bombarding you with lie after lie. And it's important Sundays and Wednesdays that you gather together and you say, okay, I'm ready to receive the stability of truth in my life. Because I want to know what is the objective standard that I'm supposed to be living by. Because it's not how you feel, it's not how you think. So I need to know what is it that I'm actually supposed to be doing? What is the truth for my life? Because I wrote down this way, we need this, because the devil deals with deception. He deals with deception. He wants to deceive your life. He wants you to doubt truth. And here's the problem with being deceived, and some of you might not agree with me, but here's the reality. There's a problem with being deceived. We don't know it. Many times you're being deceived and you don't even realize it. You don't even know that you're being deceived. Like you could really believe something is right and be deceived and be wrong. Like I know that's hard for some of you to admit that you could actually be wrong, but you could be wrong, right? Get this. I don't know if you've, I think that this is the state of a lot of Christians that they find themselves in today. There was this show that my wife used to watch all the time. And it was called, the show was simply called What Not to Wear. You remember this, What Not to Wear. When someone would volunteer a friend or a family member, a coworker, spouse, a boyfriend, girlfriend, and they would say, we're going to change your fashion. Like, you've got to change your style. And they would always say, I like my style. Like I like my outfit. And yet the first step in the process was to take that person and put them in front of these three connected mirrors. Like, I have an image of it today. This is kind of what they would do, right? Like, if you look like that, God bless you. But they would put you in front of these three connected mirrors that would look like this. And they'd put that in front of those mirrors. Some of you in the room need to get in front of one of those mirrors today. God bless you. But I'm just kidding. You seen our worship team? Like, anyway, I guess it's fashion. I don't know. But anyway, skinny jeans, they still in? I don't know. Anyway, but Pastor Samuel, I'm just saying. But intervention. But it's like, you know, they put you in front of that and you look at what you look like. Like, have you ever been in an argument with somebody and you're trying to show them how crazy they look right now? Like, don't you see the way you're acting? You really believe that? And you're trying to show them all these angles, and no matter how many angles they look at, they still don't realize that they're wrong. Why? Because when you are deceived, you are really deceived, and you don't even know it. So what you need, right, is an objective standard outside of yourself so that you can compare it to. So on this show, what they would do is they'd bring in these fashion icons, and they would say, listen, as someone who's an expert in fashion, your outfit and fashion is terrible. Let us help you. Their truth would end up changing them and help the light bulb go off in their minds. And I want to help us today to have that light bulb moment, because life has felt or will feel unstable sometimes. And you need an objective standard of truth to go to. I want to remind us of bring some truth into our lives so that we can walk in that stability, that no matter what battle comes your way, your truth is not shaken. So let me quickly give you this. Three keys about truth this morning. Here's the first key, right? Truth is absolute. Truth is absolute. And this is important to us, like, because we live in a world where people think that truth is whatever you make it, that truth is whatever you want to believe, that truth is whatever you think is okay. Like, here's the statement I hear all the time. You've heard this before, right? You do you. Like, you just do you. And that works great for you. You do you. That's great. Church works for you. Awesome. You do you. That's your thing, right? You do you. Like you do you, and I'll do me. And we'll just be happy with that kind of lifestyle. But the problem is, that's not reality. The reality is, if something is true, whether you believe it or not, that truth still stands. It still stands. Can you imagine if we lived in that kind of world when it comes to gravity? Like, hey man, gravity, you do you. I just believe I can fly. I believe I can fly, right? And I could say, yeah, you do you, but it's going to be a short you, all right? You know, like, imagine if we took that mindset with, like, gravity. No matter how much you believe it or not, the truth of gravity is, no matter the place, the time, or your background, or how you feel in that moment, the reality of gravity stays the same. It works. And it's the same when it comes to absolute truth. And the problem with this current generation, and not to pick on them, but our millennials and our Gen Zs, they literally said a third of them would say this statement. This is the statement that a third of our millennials and Gen Z would say today, that something can be absolutely true for you and totally untrue for me. Be absolutely true for you, but totally untrue for me. And my question is, how is that possible? How is it possible that we live in a world that celebrates realism in that way, that says, you know what? You just figure it out on your own. You'll find the truth. Go on that journey. Truth will eventually come to you. You just find your way on your own. And here's the issue, and I know it's not popular in our world today, but let me bring it to light. It'll be on the screen. Is for something to be true, something else must be false. It's not a popular statement. For something to be true, something else must be false. And we're in a world where we're trying to please everybody, and we're trying to make everybody like us, and we're tolerant of every other person's idea. And because of that, we've had a hard time saying something is false. Well, we can't say everything's true. We can't say something is false. And we wonder why the world is so unstable. And let me say it a different way. We wonder why Christians are so unstable. It's because we live our lives in such a way where we are not able to call truth truth and lies lies. And I just wonder if it's time for you and I to start buckling the belt a little tighter around our lives so that we can have victory in the battles and say, you know what, this is the truth and this is a lie. Like, maybe we just need a little more discernment in our lives to figure out truth, because we live in a world where no one knows what's true anymore. I love what the great preacher Charles Spurgeon, he said it this way. Get this, it's a great challenge for us as Christians. Look what he says. Discernment is not knowing the difference between right and wrong. It's knowing the difference between right and almost right. Between right and almost right. There, that right there is the issue that we are dealing with today. We mix in the truth of God's word into our crazy beliefs. We mix the word of God and his truth into our crazy ideas. And I just want to be your pastor for the next minute and a half, the next 90 seconds. And what I'm concerned with today is we have now elevated the ideas that we have, the opinions we have, the conspiracies we have. We've elevated them that we've elevated to a place and we've made them equal with the truth of God's word. So now we believe we have God-honoring, God-professing Christians who post, who declare, who say absolute truth, like Jesus is the only way, and that give your life to Christ, which is absolutely true, absolute truth, right? But at the same time, we post, we declare, we say these crazy ideas and these crazy opinions, and we elevate them together. And the world, church, is watching. And they're going, wait, so you're equating this with absolute truth of what the Bible says, and you're mixing them together? And they're saying, well, it's all true. Like I'm firmly behind this, but I'm also firmly behind this. Well, I really believe this, but I also believe this, and we mix them together. And what it does, I want you to hear me because this is a passion of mine. What it does to us is it makes Christians look gullible. It makes Christians look weak. It makes Christians look unsure. And the things that Christians say and write about, post about, is so contrary to God. And I just say to you, church, I'm licensed you. I'm okay. Have an opinion, but don't count it as truth. Right? I'm all for that. Don't put your opinions on the level of absolute truth of God's word. Like when we do that, when we mix politics and bad theology and personal preferences with the truth of God's word, it makes us look gullible. It makes us look weak. It makes us look like we don't even know what we believe. It dilutes the power of God to change lives. And I just get worried that the Church of Jesus Christ doesn't look solid today. Like we look like we don't know truth and that we're willing to jump on anything that sounds good and sounds acceptable. This should not be what defines us today. This should not be the backbone of the church today. We should be soldiers that are wrapped in absolute truth of who God is. And that is what we promote. And that's what holds us all together. So let's be careful of what we are out there in this world promoting as truth today, especially when it's outside of who God is and outside of what his word says about him. Let me give you a second key real quick. We need to understand that this truth can be known. This is also a big issue today because when I interact with people, there's a whole world out there today that makes this statement that simply say, I don't know what to believe. You've heard that before. Like, I don't know what to believe. And no matter, think about just practical, no matter what the situation is in our world, like you can watch one news channel about a situation and they'll say something, and you go to the next news channel with the very same situation and they say the exact opposite. Like, and we may sit here today and say, well, I know which one's the real one. And I would say, do we? Like, I don't know. I don't know if we do. I think we may have been, we have wrapped ourselves in our biases and we've made that truth. We've wrapped ourselves in our opinions and we've made that truth. But there's a generation raising up saying this, we have no clue who to believe anymore. We just have no clue who to believe anymore. So, because how do we actually know what is real? And the only way to actually know what is actually true about any situation is to actually go back to the origin. Like if you want to know what's really true, you go back to the origin, to the very beginning. So if like there's a car accident and two people see it from two different angles, they're probably going to have two different stories. And you don't know which is true until you get back to the original car accident, what actually happened. And here's what you know. And here's what I know. The closer you are to the truth is when you're the closest to the origin, to the beginning. And the further you get away from the beginning, the further you get out from truth. Great example. Any of you ever played the telephone game when you were growing up? Where you take a line of cups and you go all the way down and you start on one end and the person says something and then the person goes to the next person and the next person. How many know by the time it gets to the end, is crazy. Like, it doesn't even resemble what it started with. Why? Because it's so disconnected from the origin. So how do we find out what's true and what's not true? We got to get back to the origin. And we know from the scriptures that God is the beginning. He's the beginning of all things. So the only way to know truth is to know God, to know him in a real way. And you may say, well, Pastor Heath, of course that's the church's answer. Of course that's the church's response. How are we supposed to do that? And the reality is, right, if we ask 20 people how God felt about a certain issue, you'd probably have 20 of them come back with 20 different views of how God felt about that. So how do we know what is true and what's not? Well, I've got really good news for you. I have an answer. That's why you came here today. Hebrews chapter 1 could be one of the most important passages in all of the scripture. I want you to see this real quick. This is what it says right there, the very, very first verse. It says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through prophets at many times and in various ways. So God used different ways. God used a donkey. God used Moses. He used Nehemiah. He used all these different people, and he used various ways to speak to us. But look what he says. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. And through him also he made the universe. And then get this in verse 3. Underline this. The Son is the radiance of God's glory. And get this. And the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Here's why this is important. You want to know God because God is truth. How do we know God? What God looks like? How do we know what God would do? Well, we have the exact representation of his being mentioned in the scripture. And we know who it is. And his name is Jesus. Jesus. Jesus came along and confirmed what Hebrews said when he said this statement in John chapter 14. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. People have this crazy picture of Jesus, right? This little shepherd guy with like makeup done really well and carrying the slimy sheep. We have this really good picture of him, like the perfect Pantene Pro-V hair, right? You know what I'm saying? Like this weak, meek, soft-spoken Jesus. But I want you to get this. This is a very definitive statement. Jesus, not a pastor, not a denomination, not a church, Jesus said this. He made what could be the most exclusive statement in all of history ever known to mankind. He basically says, you want to know truth? I'm the truth. Like, you want to get to the Father? Anybody? Nobody gets to the Father except through me. How many know that's a pretty intense statement? But I would say it's not only exclusive, but it also is one of the most caring statements in the world. Because if he would have said, hey, you do you. Hey, go find it on your own. Good luck. Clapping for you. Hey, yeah, whatever. Hopefully you make it to heaven one day. Maybe I'll see you. That, I don't know about you, but I don't think I like that statement either, right? I'm sure that would not go well, right? But that's what we teach in our world today. You do you. You find your own truth. But no, hear me. The exact representation of God said, you follow me. And if you follow me, you will always be in truth if you follow me. You want to know how to find truth in your life? We have it. You want to know how to find truth in your life? It's right there before us. It'll be on the screen. Here, get this today. Truth is a person, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Come on, that's good stuff right there. It's simple stuff. His name is Jesus. And I want to help set this straight today because we are doing things, we are acting certain ways that we shouldn't be doing. But we think it's okay. Because you and I as believers, we have found ways to justify our speech and we have found ways to justify our actions. But I want you to wrap the belt of truth around you today and realize it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter how everyone else feels. It doesn't matter what culture's opinion is. Truth is defined by one thing. What would Jesus do? Would Jesus do it? That is the truth. Is Jesus okay with it? Let me give you a statement. I want to make this very, very practical today because I want us to be a church that is founded on truth. Like, we got a lot of different opinions in the room. We got a lot of different backgrounds. There are some things that we just don't know, right? We don't know what car Jesus would have drove if he was here today. Probably a truck, Toyota Tundra, maybe. I don't know. Like, we don't know how would Jesus take his latte, you know, how would he take his coffee. But everyone has an opinion. But there is a statement that you and I can live by that helps set it all straight, that we need to bring into our church today. Here's the statement. You ready? WWJD. These four letters that many of you maybe have heard of before. You know, it's a little old school. I get it. Some of you might be like, I've never seen that before. Is that a website? You know, I mean, I don't know. These four letters, right? This is a little old school. I get it. But for some reason, this idea is no longer cool anymore. It's no longer cool anymore. And I am on a mission today at CLC to make this cool again, right? Like, I want to make it cool again. This is how I figure out what is truth in my life. Like, it's a principle that I can live by that will lead me, that will guide me into all truth, into everywhere. If you don't know what this stands for, if maybe you're new to church, I'll spell it out for you. WWJD stands for What Would Jesus Do? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in that situation? Because if Jesus is the exact representation of God, then we understand that Jesus is absolute truth. And because of that, I'm going to live my life not by what I feel, not by what I think is okay. I'm going to live my life by the foundational statement, what would Jesus do in that situation? How would Jesus treat my spouse? How would Jesus raise these children? How would Jesus care for the poor and the needy? My political party thinks this is okay. I don't care about your political party. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do with his money, with his time, with his talent? And I'm just encouraging you to live this way and not your way. What would Jesus do? You may think it's okay, but would Jesus think it's okay? How many know Jesus confronted issues because he understood how serious sin is? But he also understood how incredible his grace is at the same time. What would Jesus do? And we're going to live based on what Jesus said. So CLC, here's what we're going to do today, right? I'll put that right there. Right here, you can look at it all service. So here's what we're going to do today, right? I'm on a mission to make WWJD cool again today. So as you leave today, we have WWJD bracelets for everybody in the room who wants one, right? All right, everyone who wants one, and I love this. We got all different colors and shapes and sizes for your style and your fashion, right? So you can pick what you want. If you want one of these, I want you to take one. It's free to you on your way out the door. Like, I want us to walk through this year thinking, what would Jesus do? Absolutely. I can match your belt. What would Jesus do? I think if you live that way, it brings wisdom into your situation. I think if you live that way, it brings wisdom into your battles, right? It's a statement to God that I'm not living according to what I think, but on the standard of God's truth, which is his son named Jesus, right? We've got to make this WWJD cool again. Why? Because I'm just tired of Christians reasoning faith out. Like, well, he's a good God. He's a loving God. Why does he do this? And we just reason our lives out. Would Jesus be okay with how you are living your life right now? That's the question to ask. There's too much of our lives that are more American than we are like Jesus. There's too much of our lives that resemble the culture than resemble Jesus. And I'm just encouraged to say, let's put the belt of truth on again and let's change that up. Let's get back to the fact that as a church, our objective standard of truth is, if Jesus will do it, then I will do it. If Jesus will talk that way, then I'll talk that way. If Jesus will post that, then I'll post that. If Jesus would text that, then I would text that. If Jesus would say that, then I would say that. Because I just think we could solve 99% of our problems today if the Church of Jesus Christ would wrap this bracelet around their wrist and this belt around their waist, say, we want to do things the way Jesus wants us to do things. It would solve half our problems. I actually thought about it. I was like, man, if money wasn't an issue, I would get everybody a workout belt with WWJD stitched in the back, right? Man, you could be walking around Shields with a noose fashion sense, man. Like, look at me. Like, what are you wearing that for? Because I'm stabilized, right? You know, so stabilize in Jesus, right? So, but listen, I want to encourage you on your way off. If you want to, I hope we have enough. Grab a bracelet on your way out and don't. And you might say, well, I need three of them. And I would say, well, Jesus wouldn't take three of them. All right, he would take one of them. All right, take one. Let me give you the last one, last key, belt of truth. How many know the truth hurts? The truth hurts. Don't know if you've ever been confronted with truth before, but I'm that guy who likes to run from it because it hurts. It's uncomfortable, right? Some of you are like, Pastor, I'd like to talk to you about the truth about your sermon. I'm like, well, let me at least get off the stage first, right? You know, just the truth hurts. The truth hurts sometimes. We're all been confronted by a mentor, by a friend, by a pastor, family member. That truth hurts for a second, right? And we all have some pride and some ways that we think we are correct in doing those things. But have you ever been in a place when you suddenly realize you are wrong? And you're thinking to yourself, how do I backpedal out of this? How do I admit this? Because the truth hurts. And I say this with all love and all care, but if you attend Christian Life Center for any amount of time, I just want to let you know, you are going to be confronted at times with truth. It's going to be confronted with you at times. We are committed to bringing you biblical truth. Sometimes you're going to come into this on Sunday and you're going to like, yes, you're going to cheer me on. That was great, Pastor. We love it. And other times you're going to be like, why did I come today? You know, like this was the day to stay home. But how many know I take this serious for me personally? My job is not to make us comfortable, but to make us better. I want to make us better. Like, we have too many Christians living comfortable lives. Too many Christians living comfortable lives on their way to an eternity away from God. Their comfortability not making a difference in the world. Their comfortability destroying their marriage. Their comfortability living one foot in the world and one foot in the church. Their comfortability prioritizing everything else but their relationship with God. Their comfortability leaving the wrong examples for their kids to emulate and to follow. Their comfortability of hoarding the finances that God has blessed with them within their lives. And I just can't speak for you, but I just don't want to be comfortable. I want to be right. I want to be in truth. And sometimes to be right, it's going to hurt a little bit. It just hurts a little bit. And I would just encourage you, when it hurts a little bit, don't run out of the church because we preach truth. But when it hurts a little bit, embrace it. Because though the truth hurts, it also challenges us. I love studying church growth. It's like one of my things. I love studying church growth and church history. I have a few books on it. And there's a whole generation of churches and denominations that have made the decision that we don't want to hurt or offend anybody. So the mind says, well, let's water down the truth and not speak what God says. Instead, let's speak what culture says. And in my studies, can I tell you what those churches and those denominations are doing right now? They're empty and they're dying. They're empty and they're dying. Why? Because we understand you're not here to feel good. You're here to get better. And sometimes the truth hurts in that journey to get better. That's what the belt of truth does. You know, when those soldiers put it on, it didn't immediately relieve the uncomfortability of wearing the rest of the armor. Never said that. It only assisted in making them do their job better. You know, truth isn't always fun. It's not always easy. And sometimes the truth is going to hurt. But I want to encourage you, let the truth change you. I encourage our church, don't change God's word to meet your lifestyle. Why don't we change our lifestyles to be in line with God's word? We don't change our lifestyles, right? Like change God's word so it fits me. We do the opposite. We change our lifestyle so that it fits the word of God. And in doing that, absolutely, the truth hurts. But can I give you the really good news? Even though the truth hurts, it always, always, always helps. When you live your life in line with God's word, yeah, it's going to hurt at times, from time to time, but it's always going to help you move forward in what God has for your life. It's always going to help you move forward in your marriage. It's always going to help you move forward in your destiny. It's always going to help you walk in generosity. It's going to help you move forward in the decisions that you have to make for your life. The truth hurts, but it always helps. So don't run from it. Don't get offended by it. I'd encourage you to embrace it. And I'll tell you why to embrace it. Because Jesus said it. And look what he said about the truth. Then you will know the truth. You know who the truth is? It's Jesus. You will know the truth. And look what he says. And the truth will set you free. I don't know about you, but that's good news. Yeah, it might hurt, but there's always a good news on the other side of it. When you know the truth will set you free. And I know it's easier to do things the other way. I know it's a lot easier to say, well, everything's okay and acceptable. But the reality is that's not right. And we're going to know the truth at CLC. And the truth is going to set us free. It's going to set us free. I wrote this last quote down if you want to get this. I believe this. It's God's truth, not man's ideas, that set people free. Not downplaying good advice and good opinions, not getting counseling and all those wonderful things that are out there. That's not downplaying. But at the end of the day, it's the truth of God that sets us free. It's his word that sets us free. In fact, that's why I love worship. I mean, worship has an amazing way of setting us free. Worship has an amazing way of bringing us into truth. You know why? Because worship brings you closer to God. If you worship him, you grow closer to him. It takes the focus off of me and puts the focus on the truth, which is Jesus. And when I worship him, I experience him more. And his truth becomes stronger in my life. And when the truth becomes stronger in your life, you're set free. When his truth becomes strong in your life, you're victorious over the battles that you face. When the truth is in your life, guess what the Bible says? The enemy flees from you. He runs from you and you are set free. And I just proclaim this over your life. The more I know about the truth of God, the more I know about the truth of who God is, then God in return, guess what he does? He helps me know the truth about who I am. Not only does he let me know who I am, but he also lets me know what I'm able to do through him. What I'm able to accomplish because my life is based on him. And I'm able to understand and enjoy freedom because I am truly free indeed. And you can be freed indeed this morning by just saying, God, I want your truth in my life. Not mine, not anybody else's, yours. Would you stand with me today as we close out? Right where you are this morning, we're just going to worship him in a moment, but right where you are, I'm just going to ask you, would you just close your eyes? Man, let's just tune out everything else around us. Man, can you just close your eyes and let's just put our minds, man, let's put our hearts on the God of truth. Some of you have been spoken lies over your life. I'm here to tell you today, it's a lie. God is a God of truth. Some of you, man, you fight battles where it just feels like you can't get through it. And I'm here to speak truth over you. There is truth, and his name is Jesus. Some of you are in the midst of chaos in your life, and I'm just here to speak truth. There's truth. That God has purpose. That God is with you. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Some of you believe the deception. You've been deceived to think, I don't know if there's ever going to be happiness and fulfillment and purpose for my life. And I'm here to say there's a God of truth that is totally debunks that. That absolutely you have purpose. That greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. It is so much truth for your life. And yet the lies and the deception captivate us. And I pray this morning as our hearts and our minds on you that the truth, it will be what captivates us today. Not the lies and not the deception, but the truth. And the truth has a name, and his name is Jesus. This morning, I want us to worship him. Can we worship him this morning just for a moment together? Let's proclaim this today in this room, that God, you are the truth of my life, and I need that truth. In Jesus' name.
Your goodness is running out. It's running after me. Your goodness is running out, it's running out to me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I can't. give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Sing all my life, 'cause all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good, yes. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
Lord, I just pray this over your people today, God. Man, may we embrace truth today. God, that we believe there's an absolute truth. His name's Jesus, God. We know that truth can be known in this place. If there's anyone questioning that, God, that the truth can be known. His name is Jesus. God, we know that sometimes the truth hurts, but yet in the midst of that truth, God, we are set free. So, Lord, I pray you help us today, Lord, to embrace it. Embrace the truth that you have for our lives. So many good things that you have for us. Lord, we're not meant to suffer. We're not meant to live life lack of peace and joy. God, we have it in the fullness, and it comes from knowing in your truth, embracing your truth today. So we thank you for that, Lord God. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we'll close with this. If you're in the room today and truth to you is not a reality because you don't know Jesus, he's not your everything. He's not your all. He's not your life. You haven't given your life to him. If that's you today, man, this is your moment. With our heads and with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, man, this is just a private moment between you and God. And I just want to pray for you. But if you're in this room today, you say, listen, truth begins by me saying, God, here's my life. I give it to you. I ask you, Lord, to come into my life. I need to surrender myself to him. If that's you, not to embarrass you, right where you are, would you just put your hand up and put it back down again? I just want to know who I'm praying for. Thank you. Anyone else? Come on, real quick. This is your chance. Thank you. It's your chance right now. Anyone else? Real quick. Lord, right now we just come before you. We pray. We thank you, Jesus, that truth is found in you, Lord. We embrace you today. We say, God, here's my life. If you're in the room today and you need to say the truth begins by me saying, Jesus, here's my life. All you have to do right where you're sitting at this place, just say, God, come into my life. I embrace you as truth and I need you. Would you come and set me free, that I may follow you. I pray, God, that you would help me to resist the lies and embrace truth. Today, we put on that belt. Finally, Lord, I just pray for your people today, God, that, Lord, we would all embrace it. We embrace, God, that you have such good things for us, that we'd embrace that you have been good to us, that, Lord, we can walk in truth. And if there are those that are battling today, God, they feel unshaky and they feel unstable, Lord, I pray that, Lord, that we'd put on your word and we'd say, God, stabilize me today. May strengthen me today so that I may follow you with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind. I want to follow you and live for you. So we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen together. Amen. Come on, let's give it up to God today. He's worthy of praise. Hey, let me remind you this. Truth is a person, and his name is Jesus, all right? So take that with you. I want to encourage you on your way out. Like, we have a prayer corner over here. We have some people that want to pray with you. Last week, man, people jumped on it. I want you to jump at it. This is a place. If you have needs, you're fighting. In a room this size, you can't tell me that people don't need prayer. If you need prayer today, it's discreet. Find that corner, and we want you to embrace that today. Grab some notes on your way out. Enjoy this week. Enjoy this weather. If you're staying for the meeting, we'll have food set up in a few moments. God bless you.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. visit us online at missoulachurch.com.